Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. This is another relatively quick podcast that we're going to talk about today, and that is to have a rapid review of blast injuries. Given what recently occurred in Beirut, which if you are listening to this much later, go back to August 4th, 2020, and you will hear about the blast that occurred in Beirut. I thought this would be a good time to review blast injuries because it can be a rather complex topic, but I wanted this to be, in a sense, a primer to talk about conventional explosions and how we can think about the way a blast occurs and the science behind it. I do have some great infographics that actually primarily come from the military that I would recommend checking out. So please go to the show notes for podcast number 211 and you'll be able to see this. We should think a little bit about the science behind a blast first, and again, we're going to stick with conventional explosives. When an explosive blast or an explosion occurs, there is a sudden release of energy. This leads to compression of the surrounding medium, such as water or air, which leads to an increase in pressure above the atmospheric pressure, referred to as an overpressure. The resulting overpressure wave moves outward at supersonic speed, creating a negative pressure wake behind it, referred to as underpressure. When the negative pressure wave passes, the pressure will then return to the baseline. The extent of damage will vary based on peak of the overpressure wave, duration of the overpressure, the medium of which the explosive is present, the relative distance from the blast wave, and the degree of focusing because of confinement, such as walls or enclosed spaces versus an open environment. One of the most important things to remember is that blast injuries must be considered polytrauma. In such cases, there will be an array of injuries that can be quite obvious to a cult. And there are different ways that this is described. I like the way that the United States Department of Defense best described it with blast injury research, that there's a taxonomy of five categories that occur. And this is really well broken down. And again, another infographic that I've included. And basically, you can think of primary blast injuries as resulting from the high pressures of the blast overpressure created by explosions. And blast overpressure can crush the body and cause internal injuries. Primary blast injuries are the only category of blast injuries that are unique to the blast of high pressures that occur and include blast lung, which is pulmonary barotrauma, tympanic membrane rupture and middle ear damage, abdominal hemorrhage and perforation, globe trauma, which is injury to the eye, and then concussion, so mild traumatic brain injuries without physical signs of head injury. And we have to think about the existence of concussions being caused by the primary mechanism of blasts alone without secondary or tertiary head impacts, although this can, and again, influence the additional levels of traumatic brain injury that can occur. Secondary blast injuries result when strong blast winds behind the pressure front propel fragments and debris against the body and cause blunt force and penetrating injuries, such as penetrating ballistic injuries, where you've got fragmentation or blunt injuries. You have eye penetration, and then you have closed or open brain injuries. Tertiary blast injuries result from the strong blast winds and pressure gradients that can accelerate the body and cause the same types of blunt force injuries that you would occur in a car crash, a fall, or a building collapse. So these are things like fractures, amputations, and then more blunt or crush injuries, as well as, again, closed or open brain injuries. Quaternary blast injuries result from the explosive products, so such as heat and light, and from exposure of toxic substances from fuels, metals, and gases that can cause burns, blindness, and inhalation injuries. So we think about this with the result of burns, and then we have like injury or incapacitation from toxic fumes. So that can be as simple as like breathing in smoke or from the, again, chemicals that were released in the process. And then finally, there are quinary blast injuries, and this refers to the clinical consequences of post-detonation environmental contaminants, including chemical, biological, and radiological substances. So chemical would be like sarin, biological would be anthrax, and then radiological, we're thinking like dirty bombs. And so sometimes this can lead to like viral or bacterial infections, this can lead to radiation poisoning, or this can be as a result of chemical burns. It is worth noting that different groups use different categories or taxonomies. So fundamental disaster management, there's a chapter in it that talks about this, as well as fundamentals of military medicine. They each describe these components a little bit differently. And so there's a little bit of controversy behind this, but I really, again, like the way that the DoD explained this best, because I think it's the easiest one to basically spell out the different parts. Now, much of the management is the same as the individual components that arise with these types of injuries. So, for example, like you had managed an amputation the same, you had managed burns the same. Overall, you know, there are going to be maybe some different exceptions based on certain environments and stuff like that. But there are some unique injuries that occur, such as blast lung. So again, this is pulmonary barotrauma. The extent of such injury has a significant impact on mortality. A pressure differential causes disruption of lung tissue with damage to the alveolar capillary interface. And various complications such as pneumothorax, pulmonary contusion, hemothorax, pulmonary hemorrhage, mediastinal air, subcutaneous air, and pulmonary emboli can affect oxygenation due to a VQ mismatch or a ventilation perfusion mismatch. Due to this, positive pressure ventilation should be avoided whenever possible, and avoid alveolar overdistension with low tidal volumes and low plateau pressures to decrease the risk of barotrauma. But know this, that hypercarbia will most likely occur, and so the goal is to just limit the acidosis. Another common thing that we can see with blasts are air embolisms, and these may also occur and often seen within the first 30 minutes following the blast. It can lead to death through complications such as cardiac dysfunction or stroke, and then you have other issues that come up like bowel ischemia, blindness, and spinal cord injuries. Traumatic brain injuries, we already touched on a little bit. Again, there's another great infographic that shows up that I've included, but it's basically, it can occur even without a direct blow. Additionally, there can be penetrating head injuries from material that's thrown in the blast that can be secondary in nature, and then you can have tertiary blast-induced neurotrauma and like the coup, counter-coup types of injuries that we're used to hearing about. Injuries to the ears are quite common, as the TM is highly susceptible. The tympanic membrane is highly susceptible to air pressure gradients and changes. However, the absence of a TM injury makes it less likely that there is significant injury to the lungs, the GI tract, or the brain. The GI tract is very susceptible, mostly in the gas-containing portions. It is important to be vigilant of GI injuries, as they can be much easier to miss than most things we've talked about so far. Additionally, significant eye injuries can occur in up to 10% of blast survivors and often have a delayed presentation. So we want to encourage screening by an ophthalmologist when we're at all worried about potential eye injuries, and may explain to people that it can take a while for these injuries to show up. Again, this is meant to be a quick primer. This is not meant to be all-inclusive of everything that you could possibly talk about with blast injuries. And again, this can be a very complex subject, but I thought this is a great primer, a great way to quickly review that these are polytrauma events. They have some unique issues that can come up along the way, and that we really need to have a better understanding, even when we're outside the military disaster environments, because we most likely at some point in our career may run across someone with a blast injury. I hope this is helpful. I love your feedback on this, but until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.